Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I've heard you're body confident now, Lindsay, after listening to James Smith on.
Yeah, no, I don't give a shit. No, I think that's the best way to be, though. Like, definitely, you know, put
exactly.
Yourself out there, get out of your comfort zone.
Well, it's related to what we're talking about today. I'll crack on. In fact, we'll roll straight in from there, Raven. We're rolling dirty from us chatting, because this is Man Baggage. As you can hear, we're already talking, we're already fired up. I'm absolutely buzzing. I've been after Scott Thomas for a while, one of the most bloody successful families in Manchester. They're always doing something. It's just a matter of time till there's the Thomas Academy. All our kids are educated there doing drama and athletics or something. Anyway, we got the best one, in my opinion. No disrespect to the other brothers. And obviously you came to know Scott Thomas as being a Love Island superstar, where he got to give with Kade. But sort of multiple businesses, a figure in the Northwest, very successful gentleman. Scott, nice to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What an intro.
Hold on a second. You've not been introduced yet, Lindsay. You don't even exist in our reality.
Do you know what, though? Are we actually classed as Manx? Because I feel like we're Cheshire Cats now. We're Cheshire Cats.
We are now. I'm Stretford.
My wife. Sorry, listeners. Man Baggage every episode. We're supposed to be getting into men's minds, but I always have a female auditor to call bullshit on any sexist statements. The voice you can hear that can't even wait to be introduced is my wife, Lindsay Kane, who's now basically trying to argue that her and Scott are from Cheshire, even though after about four shots of Zambuca, they'd both be going, come at me, I'll take your fucking head off.
Do you know what? It's so weird. And people say to me all the time, I've got such a Manc accent, but I'm really proud to be from Manchester. Mm. I feel like we are the best people on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there.
I've uprooted my life. I've moved as close to the border as I can tolerate. But we're in Wilmslow, which means you have to lease a Range Rover and have no food in your fridge.
Amazing.
Basically.
Amazing.
So the reason, Scott, there's a million things I could speak to you about, but the reason I picked today's Man Baggage subject, maturity, is I feel like you were a man who's just completed one stage of your life and now you're in the proper grown-up bit of your life. Today we're talking about a subject that everyone will have an opinion on. Stubbornness. It controls every aspect of our life, from our leaders and their economic policies right through to our relationships and the children we're trying to raise. And the man's head who I'm drilling into for insight is going to be doubly interesting. I'm joined by the one, the only, Dr. Ranj Singh. If you don't know who he is, switch off and fuck off. You've lost my respect. But you'll see him all over, as well as being an actual real life doctor that I'm now sort of seeing face to face. Itself a miracle. You'll see him sort of like, you know, Jurassic Park when Richard Attenborough sees a dinosaur for the first time. A GP approaches. Maybe it'll be like Jurassic Park and you'll evolve ovaries and you could be both male and female GPs and breed with yourself and create more. Who knows? Anyway, Dr. Ranj, legend. You'll see him all over TV, but insightful, charming, excellent dancer. Is there nothing this guy can't do? We'll soon find out. But first of all, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
The other reason I think you're going to be brilliant is normally when I'm asking gendered questions, which are triggering on purpose, such as, are men more stubborn? You're going to have such a brilliant insight on this.
stubbornness for the amount of men you must get through in surgery, in practice, where stubbornness almost has a pathology and an NHS page of its own. In fact, one could go as far to argue that stubbornness is one of the leading causes of men in physical death. I mean, it took my dad, I've got a chest pain, I'll just ignore that till bye-bye in 2003. Stubbornness is as deadly as some of the cancers and heart pains that come with it in men. Yeah. We know this. It's dangerous. So I'm absolutely fascinated to get your opinion on that. But before we do, Ranj, just in case we drift into sexist generalisations of, well, you know what women are like, we have a strong female presence. A lady auditor, Lindsay Kane, is in the house. Well, my wife, there's no way of dressing it up. So we're talking about maturity. Just if you're not clear on the definition, listeners, maturity is becoming fully grown or developed, having reached the most advanced stage in a process. So I'm going to jump straight in, Scott, and ask you, are men more mature than women?
I would say categorically no. It's so weird. I was having this conversation the other day, literally the other day, and I was saying, like, I'm still maturing now. I'm 34. And I remember, even let's go back to Katie, because you mentioned her then. I got with her on Love Island when I was 27 and she was 20, and she was already a lot more mature than me. And I feel like that's always been the case in my life. Like, literally, I was saying the other day, I'm 34, but I don't know why, I said that my next girlfriend, I want her to be around 25, 26. And my mate was like, why? She's not going to be mature. And trust me, at 25, girls have got all that stuff out of their life that they're ready to sort of settle down and sort of level up in life. Whereas with me, looking back to me when I was on Love Island at 27, I was such a kid. And like, 27 is pretty old. I think you should be a lot more mature. Mm. But at 27, I've grown so much in that time period from then. I was very much a kid, and I feel like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, definitely men, I feel like, mature a lot later.
I mean, Lindsay, I'll get your opinion, then I'm going to jump in with some science on this, but what do you think? Do you think men mature more slowly than women? Smell my fart. Yeah, no, sorry, no. Don't answer, sorry.
Well, Russell's 12 years older than me, so I'm 34.
You're right, Lindsay, we don't need to give actual numbers.
Yeah, but so after my last relationship, I was like, the next guy I go for is definitely going to be older, more mature, that's sort of been done, or, you know, done his life sort of thing and ready to settle down. However, I'm with someone that the only thing he laughs at is like fart jokes, so he's really immature in that sense. He'll cry. I'll find him crying. I'm like, what's wrong? And he'll be crying, laughing at a fart, and I just don't understand. I just don't get it.
Today, I'm joined by a legend in his own right. Not only is DJ Majestic, or Madge, as I'm going to refer to him for the next 40 minutes or so, a legendary DJ, he does all of Tyson Fury's ring walk music, played to about 90,000 in an arena. So he's not, you're not just like dropping tunes at weddings, Madge. You're absolutely smashing it.
Well, yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a lovely intro, Russell.
It'd be the easiest thing in the world for me to sit here with Madge and talk about today's subject and how men process it, particularly given the jobs the pair of us have. But there would be a temptation to drift into sexist generalisations or saying, well, you know what women are like, and we can't have that. So I'm joined by a female auditor, a strong female presence, to call bullshit on any lazy stereotypes or dodgy statistics that I throw out there, mansplaining, as I'm wont to do. And it's none other than Lindsay Kane,
hello,
wife of me, who will be helping us out today. How are you, Lindsay? You okay?
I'm very good, I'm very good. You all right?
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, not bad. Whatever. I'm just hearing noise. So today we're talking about rejection. I'm going to ask you a very general question here, Ranj, but it holds more weight with because of what you do for a living. You'll see middle class, working class, old, young, Gen Z, crusty old boomers. Are men more stubborn than women? Particularly, let's come at it from a health point of view.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to a large extent, you're correct. So a lot of people assume that I'm a GP. I'm not actually a GP, Russell. I work and I work with children, but I do come across a lot of people in healthcare settings.
Of course, and in your training, and you must have been with all types of patients.
Exactly. And being a bloke myself, last time I checked,
which is never. Who checks their balls? What a waste of time.
No, you're absolutely right. I think stubbornness, if you're going to generalise, yeah, you could say that blokes, males, are much more likely to exhibit that kind of behaviour. But I always like to think about, where's that feeling coming from? And it's stubbornness is the inflexibility, it's the resistance to change, and it's the assumption that you are right. And you are right. Whatever you say you do, you feel is right. And that comes from, I think, the reason more blokes maybe are prone to this kind of thing is because society makes blokes think that they're always right, doesn't it? Let's be honest. If you're a boy, you're more likely to be more privileged in many ways, you know, that whole male privilege thing. And I think that breeds a kind of, I call it a slightly toxic trait, actually, that boys feel like they're always right. And girls are always going to be the ones who are more, you know, open to change and possibility.
Now, we're staying on the commercial side of things at the moment. We will cross over the threshold to the emotional stubbornness in a moment, Lindsay. Don't you worry. But do you think that's this sort of male privilege leads to men, whether they be leaders, business people, men in the workplace, going, I'm right, wait and see, hold it out.
Yeah, well, like you say, the emotional side is completely different. So I would agree with what you've said, Dr. Rand, in I do think it is different. And I do think that men in that sort of position, yeah.
So, for example, we've had a live situation in our family where we've just been begging your dad to go for a hearing test for about 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're, please go for a hearing test. Whereas with a woman, if you were like, do you know, you've got a slight lump on your temple, you might want to get that checked, Kelly. I'm going tomorrow, I'm going to get checked out. You do not mess with that. I had an auntie who died from breast cancer, and boom, they're off to the doctor. 2 years of nagging it took to get my father-in-law. It wasn't until a recent bit of research was published correlating dementia with loss of hearing, which is fascinating, by the way. Look it up. It appears to be if you're not tuning into the minutiae of conversation and thing around you, you start tuning out generally. The cogs don't get oiled and there's a correlation with dementia. It wasn't until I thrust that under my father-in-law's face, we finally got him to Specsavers, confusingly, for a hearing test. And lo and behold, he's now got like the, you know, the DB5000 Bluetooth bad boys in and he's loving life. He can switch my mother-in-law off at will and he can also take a phone call right up his cochlea. He's loving it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Rejection, the dismissing or refusing of a proposal, idea, etc. I'm going straight in, Madge. Do you think men handle rejection differently to women?
Well, I love that you called me up for the rejection one. the number one reject. Do men handle it differently? Yeah, because again, like everything, what men do, it all becomes very insular with us, doesn't it? It all becomes within. It's something that we take in and absorb like the sponges that we are. And this is why, you know, mental health has always been a massive taboo with men, because everything we carry is a burden on our own, it seems. Obviously, I think it's getting a lot better and we're talking about things today. We wouldn't have been doing this 30 years ago. But yeah, I think when you being a man, when you get rejected, it's like, right, stiff upper lip, stand up again. Yeah, so what? You know, it goes down to the basics of even back in the day when you're getting rejected by a girl that you liked or something at school. She rejects you. All of a sudden, she was a lesbian anyway. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like the stupid reply that comes out.
Three of mine genuinely turned out to be lesbians, to be fair.
Did you turn them?
No. I think they preferred lesbianism to dating me.
But yeah, I think straight away when we get rejected, we put on a facade. We don't go, oh God, you know, that's something I really wanted. I'm really feeling it, and we don't process it. We react and attack almost sometimes when we get rejected. Oh, it's their fault. You know, fuck it. I didn't want to do it anyway.
Lindsay, would you agree with that?
I don't know, you know, I would probably slightly disagree, but maybe it's because I'm living with Ross, who, you know, he's, I wouldn't say he's really good at rejection, but I think in his job, naturally, he's...
I'm literally professional at it. Yeah, you know, I turned professional about 10 years of rejection.
Yeah, but that's the thing, and I think women probably, I'm not saying all women, and I say I, with age, have gotten better with rejection, but I think women tend to maybe take it a little bit more personal, I think. But I would say that men would tend to take rejection better than a woman.
Well, how are you at handling rejection then, Lindsay? Do you think you're good at it or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably a lot of what females tend to do is... So I had something recently where I was basically sort of had an opportunity, said, you know, so far out of my comfort zone, I'm going to go for it, push myself, you know, said yes to it. And then it was like, okay, yeah, we want to introduce you and blah, blah, blah. And then it went, the phone lines went quiet, and I'm like, this doesn't, I've been in, like, I know how Russell's world works, like, maybe, you know, anyway, it turns out that they'd gone with somebody else. And it was like, I'm not taking that personally, because at the end of the day, it's just, I wasn't the right fit at that time. I think a lot of it comes down to timing as well. But I think, yeah, I didn't really take it personally, because it was just, oh, they had someone that was more willing to do other stuff than I was. So I, you know, it was just one of those things.
Right, so before Twitter lights up because we've dared to even acknowledge gender exists for some of us, there is some scientific information, finally something on gender that can be measured on an MRI scanner. And based on all the psychological research, all the things we can talk to men, all the sociological research, and crucially, the study of the frontal lobe, which is the bit of your brain that deals with emotional maturity, the bit that enables Scott and I to look at a girl crying because someone's cheated on her and our hearts twinge a bit and go, oh, I bet that fucking, that bit, that empathetic mirror neurons, they're called, that make us feel what other people feels. What age, Lindsay, do you think that finishes growing in men?
Isn't it in the 40s?
43.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
You've got 9 years to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I feel like I've always been a little bit like sort of emotionally mature, if I'm honest. Like in terms of, like, I can be a bit of a joker and have a laugh and everything else, but when it comes to something serious, I feel like I can have those deep conversations. I think for me, maturity, I'm talking about in terms of responsibilities in my life, wanting to take on responsibilities, like, for example, my finances, like all the things, like getting my house in order, all these things that I probably should have done like in my mid-20s. I'm kind of doing them all now because I never kind of wanted to take on responsibilities, and I'm still single. My twin brother, for example, has got a wife, 2 kids, the dogs, the full works.
The 2 kids are genetically yours anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, that
if you're twins,
weird,
the job done.
So you've got to.
I get all the best bits, exactly, got the best bits. But yeah, I feel like for me, it's not been about being emotionally mature in terms of that. It's more about the responsibility thing. And I think that's something I'm having to take on board now as I get a little bit older. And it's scary because, like, I just like the fact of just living life day to day sometimes and everything else. But when you've got businesses and everything else, I've been forced, if I'm honest, to kind of level up across the board. And I think that's what's been the most difficult thing for me. But I feel like in terms of having deep conversations, I can switch that on because I have got that emotional side to me. But do you find those conversations difficult, Russell?
No, I mean, our deep conversations I've been doing since I was 15, 16, either in Ibiza or around the Dungeons and Dragons board. I'm one of those weird people that both goes Ibiza and is a nerd. I'm a hybrid.
Right, okay.
I'm a hybrid.
Nice.
I can talk prime numbers or Gjeldem, no problem.
Amazing.
But I think what I'm saying is, whether it's an inability to bring responsibility into your life or an inability to settle down or stay with one woman or have that emotional maturity, I don't think I'm talking about depth of conversation. Mm. I'm talking about that ability to lose that fear of settling down. And the reason why, it's not just you, it's across the board with men. I mean, I was 36, 37 when I met Lindsay and was finally ready to start settling down. Is the front part of our brain is slower to grow. And I know, forgive me, regular listeners, because we've gone over some of this science before, but they think the reason a woman's brain basically does nothing past 30 and is almost fully developed by 20 is because back in the day when we were evolving, if we'd been in tribes, when Denton was still like a wild plain where we'd go hunting and shit, across from Denton to Wivenshaw looking for antelope. The reason is men who were more emotionally mature died quicker. because you were like, I'm not going to throw a spear into the guy from Cheadle, man. You know, what's his story? Boom, dead.
So I think we've got a slight problem here with stubbornness and strength being muddled together in some people's heads. And if we talk about strength, that's seen, yeah, rightly or wrongly, ladies, gentlemen, and theys, as a masculine trait. I stood my ground. I held my strength. I didn't give way. Biceps bulging, holding off. So if stubbornness is a sign of masculinity, is it any surprise that men like to hold their ground and be stubborn because they feel more manly from it? That, could that be something else that's feeding it?
Absolutely. Like, it goes back to that point of, where's it come from? It's about boys being put on a pedestal, boys being told that they're right, boys being told that they have to be a certain way, they have to be in charge, they have to be the leaders, and they, and it breeds that kind of stubborn inflexibility that goes with it. I'm right, I'm the man, I'm the big man, and therefore I'm in charge, and I'm the one who's going to be, who basically can't be wrong. That, fortunately, I think, particularly with younger people nowadays, is changing. I think our ideas of masculinity are changing. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're having a very binary conversation here when it comes to, you know, we're talking about genders as male and female, and we have to acknowledge that life isn't that simple.
No.
Unfortunately, I think our ideas and feelings around masculinity are changing as well. But it comes from, there's that traditional view, isn't there? There's this narrative that we need to change, that blokes are always told that they're right.
I don't know if you've read any Mo Guddott. His books are brilliant. He's been on Bartlett twice. And I think it's better to talk about this. Traditionally masculine and feminine traits. So it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl or somewhere in between. There are traits, just like in French, there are masculine and feminine nouns. There are tropes and traits in our culture which are perceived or taken as historically masculine or feminine. And these have an effect depending on your body identity and your gender identity and all of that. So it's maybe a safer way. But I'm not shy about using provocative generalizations on here if it gets to a nuanced discussion. Sometimes you've got to be a bit of a Jeremy Clarkson to end up as a non-Clarkson. I was trying to think of a good example then, as a Caroline Lucas. What about making change, Linz? I think men are worse at making change. So stubbornness, where they stick to a certain way or a certain mode or a certain relationship. And I think women are sometimes more flexible with that. I mean, you see it on a most basic level. I even used to have a stand-up routine about it. Those of us that are lucky enough to hang on to our hair, minoxidil, derma rolling, different podcasts, is men seem to develop what I call hair and music freeze around about 40 or 50 with whatever hairstyle they've got, they'll have until they die. They'll like the music they like. They'll have the friends they like, and everything sort of freezes. Whereas you'll see an old lady in her 80s changing her hair, trying new things, going off around the world. She might even remarry. Women just seem to be more flexible, don't they, Lindsay? Don't you think, when it comes to change?
I think they're possibly flexible, but I don't know. The females in our, we're very female-led in our family. We've got this, the men, you know, there's not many of them around, and we are very strong-willed and very stubborn. I feel like I've gotten better, and I'm not as stubborn as I used to be, Emma Russell, like from 10 years ago.
Oh, dear.
I'm not as bad.
No. What did we rehearse? No, darling, you are not.
So I...
Read from the script, I'll fucking hurt you. Okay, that's the end of part one of my bulging baggage best of.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.